Temna zvezda. Oddaja o filmu in skritih straneh filmskega vesolja. Vsak prvi in tretji ponedeljek v mesecu ob 8:30 zvečer.
Lepo pozdravljeni v novi ediciji Temne zvezde. Tokrat z Andrejem gostiva norveškega režiserja Runeja Denstanda Langla. Ta je prejšnji teden skupaj s svojim producentom v okviru strokovnega srečanja mreže in digitalizacija art kinematografov, ki je potekalo v Kinodvoru, obiskal Slovenijo, pri čemer je predstavil svoj film Sever. Film je bilo moč videti tudi na nedavno končanem Lifu. Zdaj pa si ga lahko ogledate še na rednem sporedu mestnega kina. Sicer pa gre za svoje vrstno norveško različico tako imenovanega filma Ceste, v katerem se, v danem primeru, stikata dokumentaristični kot tudi igrani dispozitiv. Več o filmu in še čem pa režiser, s katerim sva se z Andrejem pogovarjala v kavarnici Kinodvora.
First question that we wanted to ask you is how did you actually come up with the story of the film? You know, the motives, the narrative, the content itself. I don't know. I was reading the promo material that you went through a depression yourself, and it was what kind of a trigger for you know, making the movie.
Yeah, I came up with the idea for North 5 years ago, and it was after a bad period in my life, and after bad periods you often get ideas. So. I was passing this old ski lift that you can see in the movie. I was on vacation visiting my parents, and this is in the middle of Norway. So I was skiing to get some fresh air, and yeah. And then this story came to me, like a character who had a bad time and had to do something about it. And I wrote down a synopsis on the train back to Oslo, and but the story I couldn't come any because I'm not a writer, so I just had this idea. So then I met with Alan, who is a writer, and he created this road movie out of it. So it's mostly his story, but the starting point are kind of.
Did you work together writing the story, or did you just did the synopsis and then you wrote the story?
We worked closely with the story because we didn't have a synopsis, we didn't have a treatment, we didn't want to make a treatment. We wrote the script in a not usual way. We just had the start, and we know if it's a road movie, it has to get somewhere. So we didn't know when we started to write the script where it was going, only up north. So we wrote scene after scene after scene and met every Friday, and Alan was writing and I was commenting, and then we had a lot of different scenes who's now taken out, but we also took the train and the bus, and yeah, before Alan came up with the idea that let him go with a snowmobile.
Is this the movie? Is this the part of? It could be the part of, I don't know, treatment of some, I don't know, mental states you were in. Because as Nina said, you had this depression. And, it might be like you said, you get the ideas, but is it like a therapy?
I have to say that this is a comedy about depression. It's not a sad film. It's kind of self-ironic description of depression. I think it's a lot of comedy in depression. And I think depression is universal. I think we all are depressed. If it's a bad Monday or a bad week or, yeah. So I wasn't really like some people have to go to institution because they are really, really mentally sick. But I think Yumar, the main character, is more like an average depressed, and he's feeling really sorry for himself, and he's kind of pathetic. He's not having that bad time, but he had totally isolated himself and tried to avoid the world and people by drinking and eating pills and watching disaster programs on television, like we all do some days. We don't want to talk to people. But then he learns that he have a son up north, and then he have to decide if he's going to do something about his life or not. But for me, it was... No, not a therapy. I was way out of it, so...
But you use this a lot of humor, but it's absurd humor, like the man with the chain around his legs. And it's the movie is really funny. It's not like haha, but it's really coming from your heart, the smile. So I think someone could say it's quite superficial, but it's not, because of this straightforward shock or something like that, you make the viewer feel something. Mm-hmm. It's not like a passive viewer, but it becomes... What do you think about this passiveness of the viewer? And I don't know, how do you create scenes like that?
Well, first of all, it's the screenwriter who wrote, and he's very famous in Norway for this absurd humor. You have some scenes in the film, for example, the tampon on the head, and also this man with a chain. This is his stories. And also the dialogue is very, it's not much dialogue in the film, but the dialogue that is very important and creates this humor. But for me, working with comedy is very difficult. In film, it's a lot about timing and editing and to create these moments. And of course, the actors, who are mostly amateurs here. And they play more or less they sell. They are typecast. They play themselves more or less, except from the lead. But I was thinking more of getting down the humor, because some of the scenes are so, in the script, they were so absurd and so far out that for me it was, I had to take it down to make it believable. So for me it was, to moderate it down.
Zakaj pa je tako mala komedija v resni evropski kinematografiji in kakšen humor je nasploh blizu Runeju?
I think that's the reason why I'm very influenced by American independent films, because there you have this humor that I'm longing for, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. It's not like you don't laugh through all of the movie, but there are a lot of comedy in the melancholy or the sadness. So I think it's the case in Europe. European films are... There's too much of seriousness. Gold will turn to gray,
youth will fade away, they'll never care about you. V referencah na filme je Brato Cohen in Jima Jarmusha ter vprašanju absurda in skandinavski melanholiji nam je Rune zaupal sledeče.
What's the relationship between Norway and American culture? Because when I was watching the movie, I saw a lot of references on American culture, not just because of the music, but also because of the references for me on, I don't know, Coen Brothers, Jarmusch.
I'm inspired by American independent film, and I'm also inspired by some great Scandinavian directors, like the Norwegian Bent Hamer and the Swede Roy Andersson. Muslim, also Cody Smeki, but in American Indian, the Coen brothers, of course, Todd Solondz, Wes Anderson, all these deadpan guys who I really like their character-driven lo-fi comedies, and I'm inspired by that.
Okay, and also the structure of the narrative, it kind of reminds me on the, let's say, the contemporary version of, I don't know, the myth of Odyssey. I saw it in this way, because Ymar actually goes back home to his lost son, which he's not aware of, but also, you know, the stations, when he stops, it seems like, you know, he derives from people's relationship towards the world. So in a way they help him to get by, to actually heal from depression. I don't know. What do you think about the thesis?
Yeah, I think it's right, because it's kind of an odyssey, but not only helping him. These people are not only helping him, Yuma is also helping them in a way, because this little girl and this young guy, they are confused and they feel different, like teenagers do, and they want to move away. But Yuma don't know it, but he's actually helping these youngsters to probably do something about their life. So, but for us it was, Yuma doesn't like to be with people, but now he has to. And that's comedy, I think, because when you have to relate to people, when you are trapped in like a situation, there's a lot of comedy going on. Because these people want something from Yuma, and he don't want what they want. Something.
If you don't have, in this postmodern times, which are all around us, but is it the only possible way by which you can live? So you don't make ideas from or myths, but you just take it like a comedy, like a absurd, and you have some melancholy, and then again absurd, and it's sometimes funny, sometimes not. What do you think? I mean,
yeah, that's true.
It's true.
Because I both like absurd comedy and melancholy. I'm a big fan of melancholy. I'm a very melancholic man, I think. And you just said it. The rhythm between melancholy and absurd humor, that's what I try to do in all my films. I will describe melancholy as a good feeling. A lot of people tend to say that melancholy is a sad feeling, but when I'm melancholic, I kind of having a, not a good time, but it's a good feeling, because I was melancholic 3 days ago when my brother had visited me for 3 days, and when he left, I was kind of melancholic. I remembered all the funny things we did during the weekend, but still it's a good feeling, because either you are missing somebody, either you feel sorry for yourself, but it can be a good feeling. That's what I think. It's a warm feeling, more like a sad feeling. People in this movie are in a kind of melancholic state of mind. But the funny thing is when you're feeling bad, you want to isolate yourself and want to feel bad alone. But as you can see with this movie, it's more funny to be alone together, because then funny things happens. And if you let loose of your...
But what the what is he shooting him, because he stole some good? Is he trying to shoot him, or he's just trying shooting in the, I don't know.
I think he's the only way he's used to react on people is aggression and shooting people. And you have a lot of those guys living up in Norway. They live alone and they're desperately seeking some company, but the only way they can react is with aggression. But if you see closer on the scene after he shot, you can see a kind of melancholy, lonely face in this guy. So he's lonely as well, but this is the only way for him to, the only way he knows to react is by aggression. But aggressive people are also lonely. So all the people in the movie in some way try to, they seek company. Yeah, but I was thinking that loneliness was kind of a Scandinavian, what you call it, Scandinavian melancholy. But when I traveled to Spain with the film, I was thinking, yeah, this is typical Norwegian. We all are depressed and lonely. And there was one woman raising, standing up and saying, no, you're wrong. In Spain, we are really, really lonely, even if we are crowded. So I think it's a universal feeling.
Come in.
Pred severom je ta norveški režiser snimal dokumentarne filme. Več o svojem pogledu na dokumentarce, na odnos med resničnim in fiktivnim, pa Rune sam.
What did you do before? How many documentaries did you make?
I have not made a lot of documentaries. I made one big series and one theatrical documentary. But I've been a producer and worked on a lot of films, so I think documentary and fiction is about the same things. It's making the universe believable, and you have to use
your imagination with the reality, or
yeah, you have to trust yourself in what is real and not real. You have to believe a lot in a movie too, and this could be a movie that you wouldn't believe anything if there were professional actors.
Yes, sometimes. I just have a question because you said because with the tampons on the head, is that true? I mean, do they get high with doing that, or it's just a kind of trick?
It's partly true.
Partly
because
true.
Because alcohol in Norway is very expensive. Very expensive. And when I was a teenager, a lot of people classmates around me, you have to be creative to get drunk. And I knew about some girls taking their tampons and put it in liquor and then put their tampons under their arms to get the alcohol to get into their blood. But it was never working, of course. And Ireland came up with a more extreme version of it, putting it on her head. And Anders, who plays the real role, the main character, he called me. No, he said to me right before we were shooting the scene, you have to tell me what's going on after I'm doing this, because I'm going to play it. So I have to know what to play. And then I called a doctor 2 minutes before we were shooting. A doctor in Oslo, and asked, what will happen if you do that? And she told me that you probably will be drunk for like 30 seconds. And then you will be sober. So, because in the script they were getting blasted, but that's not true.
Kako pa se je Rune sploh znašel v svetu filma in kakšna je njegova percepcija norveške kot tudi evropske kinematografije? Ne nazadnje pa, kakšni so njegovi plani za prihodnost?
I just want to ask you, what did you do before you were making movies? What was, I don't know, what were you doing?
Were studying.
Studying.
To be a teacher and also to, yeah, I had a bachelor and a university. So I studied for 6 years.
So what did you study?
I was studying history and human rights. And then I got a summer job on a film set.
And then you, by this you become like a director, I mean. What was the process? How did you become?
I didn't have any ambitions of being a director when I started in the movie industry, because I didn't know what the movie industry was about. I didn't know how people made films. So I had to observe for some years. I remember the first days when I was working, people told me what I should do during the day, but I didn't know the words they were telling me, so I had to look them up on the internet and try to know the meaning of what I should do, and then I had to do it in the evening because I had to try to understand what's going on. And, but partly I worked on a pilot with Ben Tommy, the Norwegian director, and then I realized that I worked close with him for a month or something, and then I realized that I wanted to do this. But that was 6 years ago, and so.
So now you are 6 years doing this. What do you think about the cinematography in Norway? Do you have any, I don't know, this inside knowledge? I don't know, are there any problems with making movies? I don't know, founding them with money or gathering the money, and things like that. Because in Slovenia, there are really big problems with financing the, I don't know, independent movies and even the normal movies, which are getting, well, not all of them. Some are getting a lot of money, but they are not quite good. But yeah, that's not the question.
We have a good system for making movies. We have a governmental system. They cover like 60% of almost all Norwegian films. And the rest of it are private investors. So the environment of making films in Norway is good. Because we make the average budget for a Norwegian film are like 2 million euros. But maybe a lot of the Norwegian films are too similar, they are alike, or there's, I don't know. But yeah, I think in general it's the same in Norway, Sweden and Denmark. The government funds for it, and you have to get the rest of funding. But there is a lot of people wanting to make movies, of course, so that there's a big queue of people outside the Norwegian Film Institute with scripts wanting money. So the competition is hard. But, North, for example, was really easy because the script was so good and everybody liked the script. So we funded it in 2 weeks, all the finance in 2 weeks. Then we had 1 month of pre-production, and then we shot it, and then it was finished, so it was really a simple move. We shot for 34 days.
34 days.
Yeah, and edited 16 weeks. Yeah. And wrote the script in 8 months.
So what do you think about this movie? Is it like art movie, or is it something else? What do you mean? Do you have this categorization?
In Norway, or
no.
This
your opinion?
I think it's kind of it's not a blockbuster. It's more like a comic art house. I think it's in all art house cinema and all festivals I've been in. I think there's so much drama and pain and serious films.
Yeah.
So this is more like kind of a comic relief that people are, if they're on a festival, they can see like drama, heavy films, and then they can see North, short and kind of light but warm, and they can smile a little bit before they go into the drama, because I think people make there's too little humor. Especially European. The only comedies are like slapstick comedies or romantic comedies. It's too much heavy feelings in art house. So I think this is a comic relief in the art house world.
So do you have something in mind for your next project?
Yeah, we are writing. I'm writing with the same screenwriter, but we probably in 2 years or something.
What will it be about? Some idea?
Yeah, comedy. More, yeah. Well, it's the same, kind of. We don't know yet.
Vi Glede na to, da je režiser svoj film predstavljal v okviru filmskega programa že omenjenega posveta o digitalizaciji, nas je zanimalo njegovo mnenje o pričujočem procesu, seveda v navezavi na njegov film.
Today I was attending the conference and the producer was talking about digitalization and I wanted to ask you what's your attitude on the process? Like one of the attendees said that Slovenian directors are quite reluctant
using it. First we couldn't shoot this film on a digital camera because when we were shooting it was too cold. And also with digital cameras, it's very hard to film snow because it's so white. So it's hard to just film it.
And is this the auto reference or NPS? Umar, this
is no blind. Yeah, so it's get totally white. No, you don't have the. But I. In some way, I think that it will be digitized in some years, but when actually when we shot it on 35, but then we scanned it down to digital and then up to 35 again. But the digital copy we have is that's better than the 35 millimeter copy. I saw both of them, and it's better. So you still can shoot on film and have a digital print. That's no problem. So that's more of a compromise, and I would like to do that next time as well. But maybe then I go out with digital prints, but shoot on 35 and have digital prints. Could be a solution for anybody.
And then it's much easier for the cinemas to project it, because they only need to have this projector and then...
Yeah, and for us just making low budget movies, we pay a lot of money to distribute this film. We have to deliver a lot of material. So one print, if you're going to make a 35 print in Norway, it will be like €1,000 or more.
Just one?
Yeah, just one. 1500 euros, but for a digital top of it would be like 100.
Yes.
Then we save.
You can make 10 times more copies and distribute them more.
So I think because it's not a problem to shoot on 35 and then have a digital print. But I like the film, of course. It's still better.
It's a better feeling.
It's a better feeling, and it's like vinyl and MP3 or something. Still,
it's the same,
I like to listen to old records, but I still like the digital thing about music is that it's more available.
The both sides have
both sides is
pros and cons. Yeah.
But I think still the producer want to digitize and the directors want to shoot on film.
Z vprašanjem digitalizacije pa smo prišli tudi do konca današnje oddaje, ki so jo pripravila Andrej in Nina, na drugi strani pa je bil z mano tehnik 359. Vljudno vabljeni, da se novič pridružite čez 14 dni, ko bomo gostili Blaža Kotina. Zdaj pa sledi že nova oddaja na valovih Radija Študent, to je seveda Out of Control Rock and Roll.
Temna zvezda. Oddaja o filmu in skritih straneh filmskega vesolja. Vsak prvi in tretji ponedeljek v mesecu ob 8:30 zvečer.